of standing in for Junho tonight. It's kind of funny because Junho, about 2 months ago, told me that I need to start preparing a couple of sermons because he wanted me to, on occasion, stand in or fill in. Well, he called me Tuesday, I believe it was, and let me back up a little bit. I kind of played around with a couple of different ideas. I've been in prayer trying to seek God's will and some topics and whatnot because I want to do some topical sermons. And so God's put some ideas on my heart, and I've been doing some Bible study and whatnot. And so I get the call from Junho Tuesday, and Junho sounds terrible. He sounds horrible. He's telling me, do you have some sermons ready? Well, I think I've got something ready. I think I can put it together for Thursday. Are you sure? Yeah, I think I'm ready to go. You told me a while ago I should be preparing, so I've been kind of preparing. Well, then he says, well, I'll see how I feel, and if it goes okay, I'll be there, and I'll give you a call tomorrow to let you know. So yesterday he calls me, and he goes, Merrill, you're on. Okay, Junho. Well, the funny thing is, so I went home last night after work, and I'm in deep prayer, and I thought I had all of the, you know, my sermon all ready to lay out. Well, what I had been preparing for the last, roughly 6 to 8 weeks, God says, nope, that's not what I want you to preach on. So you guys are stuck with, and I don't mean stuck. I mean, anytime the Lord lays something on our hearts, we want to go with it, right? So what you have is, you have what God has laid on my heart. And Mark, I don't know where your prayer tonight just falls so in line. I mean, I am just absolutely convinced that this is the will of God. Now, you guys might not think so, but I'm convinced that what I'm going to take and present to you is, in fact, the will of God. It just happens to go along perfectly with today being the National Day of Prayer. So all that being said, does everybody have a Bible? If we don't have a Bible, let's see what we can do about rounding some up. I see some on the table. I'll bet we can borrow some of theirs. Make sure it doesn't say the Holy Book of Mormon or something on it. But beyond that, okay. Well, hey, you know, that's an opportunity for witness for us on the way home, isn't it, tonight? Does anybody else need a Bible? Because we will be, well, I'm not going to be probably as in-depth as Junho makes us jump back and forth and whatnot. I am going to have you doing some study in the Bible with me. I've titled this, Your Life Should Advertise Christ. Companies around the world spend huge sums of money to develop marketing strategies and product identification through the use of advertising slogans. It's been reported that the advertising industries had revenues in excess of $1 trillion for 2004. That's right, $1 trillion in total world revenues. That's, what, almost the national debt of America? These agencies are paid to develop strategies, produce advertising campaigns, and ultimately promote recognition. All of this is designed to increase sales and profits for the company that owns the product being promoted. As Christians, shouldn't our lives be advertisements for Christ? Before we get going further here, would you please join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, Lord, to ask that you would open our hearts. Father, that as we study your word, that you would place your word, Father, in our hearts, that we can draw upon it in the days and hours to come, that as we encounter a situation, we have to make a decision, we can fall back on your word and know that the decision we make, Father, would be founded on the rock, on you, Father, that there's some substance for making a solid decision. And Lord, as today is the day of prayer, we just pray, Father, that our nation falls on its knees and that we repent and we return to you, Father. And Lord, I ask your forgiveness for my many sins, and I ask, Lord, that you would be glorified in the message that is brought tonight. In Christ Jesus, amen. Back to the topic of tonight's study. I'd like to demonstrate the effectiveness of advertising. Now, you don't have to answer out loud. Of course, I might pick on you, but then again, no, that wouldn't be very good, would it? But I'm sure you're going to be familiar with some of these. I want you to think about the product. Whenever you hear these words, have it your way. You'll probably recall the jingle. You guys even remember the jingle? Da 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 da. Okay. And the slogan of Burger King. What about this one? Just do it. Nike, that's right. You ladies ought to know this one, because I'm worth it. L'Oreal. Let's try another one. You're in good hands. You probably remembered Allstate. That's right. And this last one may prove to be a little more difficult for some of you. We answer to a higher authority. Very good. That's right. Excellent. Okay. Now, you're probably all sitting there wondering, what in the world am I doing and where am I going with this? And what is the relevance of this to a Bible study? After all, these are just silly advertising slogans, right? But are they? Let us consider this. What is the purpose of all this advertising hype anyway? The purpose of an advertisement? All right, hey. The purpose of an advertisement is to create an image that draws people in such a way that they are willing to spend their money on a product or service. The image can be one that focuses on lifestyle, life choice, status. However, the real bottom line, though, is to cater to people's selfish desires. This is done through ads that promote self-satisfaction above all else. I mean, think about some of the slogans and think about the way the advertising agencies present the car, the sandwich, the L'Oreal hair color, whatever. I mean, they spend an awful lot of money on psychological studies to figure out how we tick and how we think, and then they use that information to approach us with their product. You've got to have it. Why do I have to have it? Well, you got to have it because the neighbor next door is going to get one before you if you don't run out and buy it first. Oh, well, we can't have that going on, right? All right. Well, let's take a few moments to explore these slogans from a biblical perspective. What could possibly be wrong with having it our way? Having it your way seems innocent enough. After all, they are only trying to sell you a sandwich, fries, and a soda. But what happens if we apply this philosophy to other areas of our lives? To begin with, it implies that we are self-sufficient unto ourselves, that what matters most is satisfying our own carnal desires. It also implies we know what is best for us with no need to rely on the perfect plans that God has designed for our lives, as stated in Jeremiah 29:11. Turn with me, if you would, please, to Jeremiah 29:11. Told you I was going to have you going into the Bible. We're going to start right off here. Well, just a second here. In my Bible, it is 1277. Just about in the middle there. All right, there we have a couple. All right. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. God has the plans for us. He knows what He wants to do for us. He knows how He wants to prosper us. He knows what our future is. It's not a bad future. He has the best in store for us. If we demand it our way, where do God's plans fit in for us? On another note, wasn't it the desire to have it our way that led to man's fall from grace? Turn with me to Genesis 3:6. I'll give you a few moments to get there, because it's going to take me a few moments to get there. And we have all recently studied this, haven't we? Genesis 3:6. Mine's on 9. I don't know where yours is. Okay. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. In this passage, we see that Eve made the decision to have it her way. Adam also made the same choice to have it his own way. Because of their disobedience, mankind was forever separated from the presence of God because of this sin. What about Nike's Just Do It? On the surface, it appears to be a motivational slogan designed to get you involved in some form of physical activity, or at the very least, to have you dressing like you're physically active. What happens, though, if we apply the same slogan to other portions of our lives? Just do it. These three words have the ability to strip morality from our actions. The message that comes across is that there is no room for moral conventions. So, just do it. It doesn't matter if what I want to do is wrong or harmful. Just do it. The slogan does not allow for, imply, or convey that there are any penalties for my actions. Who does this remind you of? Let's turn to Genesis 19, 5 through 9. He's cheating on my notes? Oh, that's because, remember, this young man has had a lot of time for doing some serious Bible study. Probably we should all take a lesson from Spoon. Throw the TV out. Genesis 19, 5 through 9. And they called to Lot and said unto him, Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us, that we may know them carnally. So Lot went out to them through the doorway, shut the door behind him, and said, Please, my brethren, do not do so wickedly. See now, I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please, let me bring them out to you, and you may do with them as you wish. Only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they have come under the shadow of my roof. And they said, Stand back. Then they said, This one came in to stay here, and he keeps acting as a judge. Now we will deal worse with you than with them. So they pressed hard against the man Lot and came near to break down the door. These people were so caught up in their perverse sexual desires that they disregarded the inevitable penalties for sin and depravity. Their sinful behavior was done blatantly before the Lord. Let's turn to another passage, Romans 3, 10 to 20. Did you have that one guessed over there, David? Cindy, you're not supposed to give them the crib notes. Romans 3, 10 to 20. I guess I have to find it first, don't I? As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness? Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is knowledge of sin. This passage clearly shows that all people are guilty of sin, even if it is not to the degree of the Sodomites or Gomorrans. When people choose to just do it without any thought given to the Lord's desires for us, we find our choices to be sinful and therefore not edifying. This brings us to the L'Oreal slogan, because I'm worth it. L'Oreal tries a more subtle approach by playing on women's vanity and desire for higher socioeconomic status. Their ads tell women that they should buy their products because they're worth it, whatever the price. This is a great ploy of Satan's. He wants us to believe we are worthy of something. We know, however, that none are worthy. Turn with me to Romans 3:23. We're right there. I'm right there. We just happen to be there. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Not one or two, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. More and more advertising is geared towards convincing us that we deserve more, that we have to acquire more, that we are an island unto ourselves. The reality is, without God we have nothing. We are nothing, and we deserve to go to hell for our self-centeredness. Left to our own devices, we are not safe at all, which brings us to our next slogan. Allstate. Allstate wants us to believe that they are the only entity to keep us safe and protected. After all, you're in good hands with Allstate. Allstate is an insurance company who analyzes risks and charges a fee based on those risks and the value of the property being insured against loss or damage. Their profits come from correctly analyzing those risks so that a claim is never filed or minimized if filed. As Christians, we are told that we are not to put stock, invest, in the things of this world. Instead, we find God's desire for us with regard to where we store our treasures in Matthew 6:19 through 21. Turn with me if you would, please. Matthew 6:19 to 21. Let me see, it's what? Matthew, Mark, Luke? Yeah, okay. I was only kidding, folks. Matthew 6:19 to 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. I just thought of another slogan for a rival insurance company to Allstate that speaks to where we place our faith. Prudential. Prudential advertises itself as the rock. As what?
Solid.
Oh, that's there you go. Solid as a rock. Let's turn to Isaiah 26, verse 4, please. Well, I found it earlier today. Isaiah 26, verse 4. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength. I actually like the version a little bit better that we have in the NIV version, because it states that the Lord is the rock, the everlasting rock. Isaiah reveals to us the true rock. The rock is eternal God. Prudential's commercials also tell you to build your future on the rock. Well, they're half right. We should build our future upon the rock. Not the rock of Prudential, but the rock of Christ, who is the chief cornerstone, the foundation upon which to live, not the Prudential insurance company. If you'd turn with me, please, to Matthew 7:24. Told you I'm going to have you taking and playing back and forth here a little bit. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Now, if you'd turn with me to Ephesians 2:20, and I just use that as evidence that, in fact, we are supposed to build our foundation on the rock. We don't want to build in the sand, because of the shifting sand. We know what happens. The house falls, there's no foundation. Ephesians 2:20. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. This is another example of the rock on which we are to build our futures. Christ Jesus, not Prudential, not the good hands of Allstate, but our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Lastly, we have Hebrews National's slogan, "We answer to a higher authority." Yes,
They are actually referring to God, for it is a Hebrew-founded company that actually is kosher. It's one of the few kosher companies out there producing hot dogs, hamburgers, and all the like. Let me ask you, do your actions reflect the authority to which you answer? Are you advertising for Christ? Webster defines advertisement as a public notice as of products for sale, events, etc. To advertise is defined as to make known or proclaim the qualities of, as by publication or broadcasting. As Christians, our lives should be an advertisement for Christ. Our lives should reflect or advertise the rich and glorious life filled with all of God's blessings. We should be proclaiming the wonderful qualities of living a Christian life. When non-Christians observe us, they should see how we are different and how our lives and behaviors are changed from what we were before we knew Christ. Our behaviors should reflect the hope and faith found in God as we allow Him to have control over our lives so that we may overcome our sinful natures. Of course, this change occurs when we accept the free gift of salvation offered to us by God when He sent His Son to die for our sins so that we could have a relationship with Him. There is only one way to have a relationship with God, and that is through having faith in His Son and believing that Jesus Christ died that we may be saved. Do you have salvation tonight? I pray that you do. Let me leave you with one final slogan. The Visa credit card company uses the slogan, "Don't leave home without it." But I want to modify the statement tonight to say, "Salvation, don't leave here without it." If you need to pray, please don't leave tonight without finding one of us to pray with. There's several of us we'd love to take and pray with you. Join me, if you would, while we close this in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much, Lord, for being with us tonight, for sending the Spirit. Thank you for the message that you brought. And we pray, Father, that we would be a fitting and appropriate advertisement for your Son as we walk about the world. We pray, Father, that our lives would reflect your glory and the full life that you have for all of us and that you want for every person in the world. Father, embolden us. Help us to spread your word, spread your gospel in Christ Jesus.